And welcome Mark Hickey.
Morning, everybody. 7 minutes, a couple of minutes to share what God has done and what God is continuing to do. You know, a testimony is part of where God has taken me from, but what God is doing today. Just for people, some people don't know me. I'm fairly new to Liberty. A little bit about myself. My name is Mark. I'm from Tallaght. I'm 36. I've been lucky enough to experience both sides of life. What I mean is that a lot of people, when they're in drugs, this is where I came from. I've had blessings, and I've had good times, and I've had bad times. Part of the good times was I got to do a lot of traveling, got to work abroad. At one time, I was working for a company, and I was living in Morocco. A two-bedroom apartment was provided, so I'd be out on the balcony in the mornings, standing there at my coffee, kind of looking out at palm trees, looking out at sand and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, you know, life is great. I've arrived. Or so I thought. Fast forward a couple of years and I'm back in Dublin. A set of circumstances brought me home. I'm strung out on heroin. And instead of looking at palm trees, I'm walking out into the road, looking to score a bag of gear. Maybe bum a cigarette off somebody, avoid somebody that I owed money to, stuff like that. And when you get to a place like that, you phone somebody, you look for help. And that person, I don't know if he's here, Stephen May. Stephen May was a Christian. I'd heard about him. He's a good friend of mine, so I phoned him one day. And him and Phil Richardson, Phil is there, they set up a place called Lifeline. And Lifeline was a recovery home for men. So Stephen called up one day. He picked me up at the house. And I remember driving down to Lifeline, and I was asking him all sorts of questions, like, you know, what's a Christian? What does this place do? And he told me one thing. He said that when life got too hard, he said he said a prayer and he handed it over to Jesus. Now, I hadn't a clue what that meant, but God used Stephen to get to me. If I had been anybody else, I probably would have said, you're mad, you know? But I knew Stephen, I knew his character, I knew he didn't lie, he wasn't a waffler, so God was planting seeds all the way down. When I arrived down at Lifeline, right, the lads were just about to start a prayer meeting. And I keep looking at Phil because I'm thinking about Phil all week and I thank God for him. Amen. You know, sometimes Eddie works in a treatment centre. When lads go to a treatment centre, they do an assessment. You know, they kind of search you, fill in some forms, all that sort of stuff. But I landed at the time and a prayer meeting was just about to start, right? So lucky for me, unlucky for other lads. I went into this tiny little room. And they said to me, just close your eyes, this is going to go over your head, right? So I closed my eyes, the worship music started. I'd never heard worship. The Angelus is probably the holiest song I'd ever heard, you know? So I closed my eyes anyway, and within a few minutes, all I could hear was Jesus, you know? Probably through the song, I can't remember what it was. But tears started coming out of my eyes, and I thought, I don't believe it, you know? I felt like an idiot, and what happened was, I got convicted, you know, I got convicted of sin. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean God showed me I told a lie last week. That's not what I'm talking about. People often say when they give their life to the Lord, they suddenly realize that all is well between them and God. They can look God in the eye. The opposite was after happening to me. The Spirit of God showed me that all wasn't well. I thought my biggest problem that morning was that I was a heroin addict. And it was a problem, but it wasn't the biggest problem that I had. God showed me that your problem is that I don't have him. So Phil said to me, look, he knew something was happening. He said, do you believe in God? And I believed in God as in God fact, you know. I believed that God created. Didn't believe probably God worked in people's life. Probably didn't believe that you could have a relationship with this God. You know, the story of evolution. Never believed two atoms or whatever collided and me, you, everything out there is a result of that. So he says, yeah, I believe in God. He said to me, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sin and that he can cure you of this? And the Bible says that the two keys for salvation, right, is belief, confession and belief. Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Confession with my mouth was easy. I could have just said yeah to keep Phil quiet. What made me believe in my heart was I looked around the room and there's about 10 other lads there that were all, their face was shining. They had life in them. And something inside me knew this isn't a cult. I knew that Christianity, that was the real thing. So I says, yeah, you know, I'll give my life to the Lord as best that I knew how. followed in a prayer of salvation. And the thing that happened next is something that just blew me away. As soon as I led in the prayer of salvation, I felt, I experienced the power of God come upon me. And I'm not talking about a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm talking about the power of God. In a split second, I'd never been to Bible college. The Bible wasn't even opened. In a split second, I knew that God was real. He revealed himself to me. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. What kind of more incredible about my testimony is that after all this, 3 weeks later, I left the center and I went back using drugs for 2 years. That was Friday the 13th, 2007 was the day this happened. For nearly 2 years, I went back. One of the reasons I went back, you know, some of the lads told me their story in the center, and I just didn't think I was as bad as them. You know, some had been homeless, been in prison, and I thought, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad, you know? So I thought. So anyway, long story short, I'm looking at the clock here. I went back, I'd done the program, and one of my prayers, when I went back, I wasn't sure, I knew God was real, but I'd seen so many men get clean and then leave and go back using. And I used to think, what's the story with that? Is this God big enough to take this drug addiction away? And one of my prayers, whenever it kind of came to me, was that, Lord, will you? I love drugs, I love heroin. Lord, will you take this love of drugs out of my heart? And God did, you know. 3 years ago, I couldn't get out of bed. I'd be up all night smoking heroin, smoking crack. I'd wake up in the morning, and the worst thing was, this sounds terrible, but, you know, when the kids would be waking in the morning, I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't make breakfast, you know. I didn't know then if this was going to work. God is big enough. He's done it for me. Life is totally different. I used to think, if I ever get clean, you know, maybe it'll be clean, but like hanging in there every day, it's not like that at all. Total freedom. God has blessed me, protected me, and he's continuing to work in my life. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Where's Philip Richardson? Someone said he's in that. Oh, there he is. But I can't let this opportunity go by, because I was praying, you know, this morning downstairs. I was just thinking of all the men in the church. I was thinking of all men who come to a lifeline, right, and have come to liberty. I was just thinking, so I must go and thank Philip, because he's given us some really good men. I just want to say, Philip, you know, I thank you, you know, on behalf of the senior leadership, but all of Liberty, you've given us some really quality good men, and you blessed us, and surely we bless you. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Follow that is right. Well done, Mark. Praise God. Isn't God good? Time. Before I begin, I want to, my wife there, I want to say happy birthday, Vicky. Or I'll be killed. I won't sing. But thanks for everything, Vicky. I love you. Thanks for everything. Did you get that? Yeah. That's loads of brownie points there. Loads of brownie points there. Amen. Yeah, amen. So we're going to start back up on this Freedom Christ series. And if you want to turn with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 there, verse 20. I'm sorry to bring it down a little bit, but... over the next 20 minutes or 30 minutes, wherever I have, it's going to be really difficult, I think, because I'm going to start sharing on something that is absolutely going to pull people asunder in here this morning. It's the most difficult thing I can talk about. It's the most difficult thing anybody could talk about. It is relevant to every person that's sitting here, I believe, in some part of your life or in some stage of your life. It's absolutely relevant to some people in here in regards to being controlled by certain things, and it's something that we really have to, every individual in this room has to deal with it at some stage. And I I'm hoping it's sooner the better. Do you know what I mean? I'm hoping it's sooner the better, and I'm hoping that we can get this breakthrough. I'm believing it. There's hope in my heart this morning. People got up and shared here this morning about the presence of God, and God is in here, and He wants to minister. You know, he sometimes He grieves over us. Sometimes He cries, the Bible says, over us because we're trapped, and He wants us to get out. And the only way we can get out is by faith and moving on in Him. And so, over the last few weeks and couple of months in church, God has really been ministering. He's really been opening up a lot of things. He's using this Freedom in Christ book to open up a lot of things, to bring us into a lot of awareness about who we are as Christians, to correct theology, to correct our understanding of God. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of this book, this issue comes up, because you can't go any further. Are you with me? You can't go any further. I'm trying to prepare you here, guys, because this is going to be really, this is a journey here, and it's a tough one. I went on this journey, I'm Christian now 16 years, and initially, like Mark, came out of a horrific heroin addiction, and I used to think, excuse me, I used to think everything was about the heroin, you know what I mean? It's not all about addicts here, but just to try and give you my story, I used to think it was my relationship with drugs that was my problem, but it wasn't. It wasn't. That was only the symptom. The symptom went much deeper. Much, much deeper. And when I got to the root of who I was, and I took, in my case, it took 12 months confined in a program for me to pay attention. I'm hoping that's not the case in here. You know, some of us go on different journeys, but to get to the root of certain issues, we have to look at things. We have to face it square on. Amen? Okay. Matthew, we all there, Matthew 18, 20, verse 20. It's called the parable of the unmerciful servant. Okay, and it goes like this. And Jesus is talking. The context is that Peter's asked him a question about forgiveness. And Peter says, many times do I forgive people? And is it seven times? And Jesus just blew him out of the water. He gave him a figure that's unreachable. He gave him a 70 times seven figure. You know, 77 times seven is the figure He gave him, okay? Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and the man was thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw this, what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy as I had on you? In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers from the heart. Do you know what? There's times really in my life I wish that wasn't in there. I wish that was lost somewhere. Because that is a really hard thing to live up to. Jesus Christ, he's telling us about our condition. You know, he's telling us about, you know, our wretchedness. He's exposing man. He's exposing the heart of man with this parable. And you see, every one of us have a debt. We've done this over the last few weeks.
We've done it. We've exposed it. Every one of us have a debt, and the debt is sin. And it's sin before God. You see, and someday he's going to call you in. You know, there's two sure things in life, debt and taxes. They're the two sure things in life. I'm going to trip over that. And one day God is going to call you in. He's going to call all of us in. And he likens it to do, he says, 10,000 talents. And the equivalent that in monetary terms, I looked it up there the other day, it's like 2.5 billion in their modern language. It's an unreachable sum. It can never be paid. No matter how many lifetimes you live, no matter what you do, you will never be able to prepay that debt, no matter how long you lived. But yet, we owe it. And, that value that Jesus holds onto that is what we owe. And the servant said, I'm reading this, I'm thinking, how did he ever get into a debt of 2 or 10,000 talents? How was he ever allowed to get into that debt? And guys, if you can put it into human terms, that's how much we've wasted in sin. That's how much we've wasted going away from God. And God has allowed us. I don't know why he's allowed us. But he's allowed us to amass a debt that is unreachable. He's allowed us through free will to go and live. What does the Bible say? All sheep have gone astray. They've gone their own way. And they've amassed a debt that is unreachable. But yet God allowed us to amass it. He allowed us because of free will. And he was called in and he says, I want my 10,000 talents. I want that value. A talent is 75 pounds of pure silver. Now I want my 10,075 pounds of pure silver and I want it today. And the servant says, I don't have it. The servant says, I don't have that. But, then you're going to be thrown into the prison until you can pay it back. And that's we're getting into tough territory here. That's where we're ending up. And people don't want to hear that nowadays. They don't want that preached. I wish that wasn't in there. But this is coming out of the mouth of God. It's not coming out of my mouth. I didn't write this. If I had a choice to write this, I wouldn't write it. It's coming out of God's mouth. That there is a result. There's a consequence to our actions. There's nothing free in this world. You might think you're getting away with it all the time in the world, but before God, God sees everything, the Bible says. He sees everything, and we're just amassing up and crewing this debt that we can never pay. And he says, right, you're going to be thrown into the prison. You're going to be, all you and your family, the whole lot, going to be thrown into the prison because of this debt, because you need to pay it back. And Jesus is using human terms here, because that's what happened in the day. When you owed money, you went into the debtor's prison until you could pay back the debt. He's using that language that they couldn't understand. And so the man begged him. And I love this. The man said, please. He didn't say, take everything away. He said, I'll pay it back. Knowing that he couldn't. I'll pay it back. And Jesus says, the master had mercy on him. Listen, guys, please listen to this. The master had mercy on him. The master had mercy on him. And you know what? He didn't say, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to bring the ECM or whatever you call it in. We're going to bring the troika in. We're going to sort out your debts and rearrange your debts. And as they say, kick the can down the road and someday you're going to pay. He didn't do that. He says, it's cancelled. 10,000 talents. It's cancelled. 2.5 billion euro, whatever. Jesus was using mad language. It's cancelled. You're freed from it. Not to pay me back 10 years' time. Not to pay me back in a month's time in installments. You're gone. It's gone. It's over. You're freed. And you see, he's using this language because Jesus came and lived his life. And it cost God everything. It cost God to send his son onto the earth. It cost him everything. 2.5 billion, whatever fuel you want to put on it. Look, what I'm going to do for you is going to cost my father everything. His only son. My only son I'm giving to the world. It's costing me everything so your debt can be free. It's not something I'm doing because you have to understand that if you can think of, you know, if you're an accountant or whatever, or a businessman, you can't give let someone away with €2.5 billion worth of a debt. You can't do that, or you're bankrupt. You can't do that. If that was the case, then we just let Greece off the hook. You can't do that. The whole country is on its knees, and the people can't let the debt go. Look at it in our own times. And God says it's $2.5 billion, but I'm letting it go. But it's costing me something to let it go. It's costing me something. It cost me my son to let that go. It's not free. It's not free. Someone has to pay. And Jesus paid. He's talking about himself. He paid. And all of a sudden the man is free. And he walked out of that judgment, see? As us as Christians, born again, set free, amen? Covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, accepting God, we walk out of that judgment, see? And we say, I'm free. The debt has been paid. I'm free. Man, when that light bulb went on in my head all them years ago, I couldn't contain me. It couldn't contain you. You start joking. There's a catch. He said, no, Eddie, your sins are free, but I've loads of sins. Yeah, but you're free. Past, present, and future. What? Past, present, and future. What's that mean? Past, present, and future. All my sin is forgiven. You're off the hook, Ed. But don't forget, it cost him everything. Now let's bring it on to the really tough part of the story. Because the servant goes out, and guys, stay with me here for 10 minutes, please. The servant goes out, and he sees a man that owes him 100 denarii. Now, I've looked up what 100 denarii is, and it's the equivalent of about €5,000. Now, my €5,000 is a lot to me. You know what I mean? The man owed him something. He genuinely owed him something to a man that had nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? He had nothing, and all of a sudden, you owe me 5,000, 100 denarii, and I want it. Now, it's okay. You see, a lot of us have been hard done by. A lot of us have had, a lot of people owe us things in this room. Listen now. A lot of people have done bad to us. There's a lot of people owe us things. They owe us things that was done on us. They owe us, sin that was done on us. They owe us. There's no doubting about it. We've been hard done by at times. And we recognize that. We do recognize that. But in the economy of God, guys, and listen to this very carefully, and I don't mean to diminish anyone's hurt or suffering, but in the economy of God, it's 100 denarii. It's 100 denarii. We cannot hold that. We have to let it go. We have to let it go because we have been set free. We have had the 10,000 talents. Now we're holding back for 100 denarii. And we have to look at that economy because this is the way God sees it. This is the way God sees it. If you're saying to me that I'm letting you out, letting you go of all that value, or in other words, that I have paid the price, it has cost me everything, and all of a sudden then you're looking at someone who owes you something and you can't let go of it. You can't let go of it. And listen, guys, and I mean this, as a Christian, we have to look at that. We have to look at that. We have to let go of anybody that has debt. It owes us anything. And we have to set them free. Now, I don't mean to diminish anybody's pain and suffering. You know what I mean? And it's not about what was done unto you. It's not about what's owed to you. It's about you. It's about you letting go. Yes, people owe you. And yes, it has a certain value to you, but you have to say, listen, I set you free from that. I set you free from that. You don't owe me that anymore. You're free. But the problem was that the servant grabbed him and the man begged him and pleaded with him and he said no. And he held on to that and he says, you know what? Well, you know where you're going? You're going into the debtor's prison. That's where you're going until you can pay me back everything you owe me. And the amazing thing is that the servants went back and reported this about what this man had done because they knew that this guy had been set free, and they knew that all the debt had been paid. And all of a sudden they went back and they told the master, he's at the throne, that guy in prison, because he owed so much money, and look at the debt that you were at the setting free. And the master called them back, guys, and listen to this, the master called them back and he said, how could you not set them free from that debt? Look at what I've done for you. Look at what could you not have mercy the way I've had mercy on you? Look what I've done for you. I've set you free. And all of a sudden, and this is the very hard part of this parable, that the man was put back in prison. And guys, listen, a man that was freed was now in prison. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're the prisoner. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you still think as a Christian that you can let someone owe you something and put them in prison, you're the prisoner. God cannot do anything for you. Jesus says you'll be in the prison to torture. He's using language because you're tortured. As a Christian that holds unforgiveness to certain, you realize, and I love this because God always brings us to a revelation that we've been forgiven before we can start even trying to forgive other people. So you know that you've been forgiven. You know the debt's being paid, but yet you're holding it against it, and God cannot. You're back in the prison. You have put yourself in the prison. You're in the prison. You're the one that's going to be tortured. You're the one, you can't. You know the freedom in there. You come into church. I've dealt with people over the years. There was a guy I was dealing with. This stuff is very important because I went through all this process myself, man. I tell you, it pulls lumps out of you. I only went through it a couple of years ago. I forgave a person in my past. And, I on my floor type of stuff, forgiving people. On the floor. I kept on thinking I'm letting them off the hook. I kept on thinking that they're getting away with it. I kept on thinking, you know what? How dare they? And God was saying, let them free. Take the debt off them. Set them free. No, God. But we can't. What do you want me to do for you then? You put yourself in the prison. You've closed the door and locked it. And I said, okay, God. I'm kicking and screaming and thumping. And I said, okay, I let them go. And it's grinding my teeth. I let them go. And then I done that again and again and again. Every time they started to affect my life, I said, you know what, I let them go. And my life started to be free. You see, I was out of the prison. And I started to deal with people and love people and trust people and accept people and be who I am and have confidence in who I am. And I'm no longer did that person have an effect on me. See, I was free. And then, amen. And then all of a sudden, this issue came back up at me and hit me like a ton of bricks because the person did the same thing on me. The only thing is, there was kids involved and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about abuse or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. It's a very sensitive issue in my life. And all of a sudden, they done it again on me. And I tell you, I went back on my backside for 6 months after that. Back into prison. Listen, guys, I went back into prison for 6 months after that. Couldn't get any breakthroughs. Couldn't get God. Every time I got on my knees, God was saying, what about that? This big elephant in the room. What about that issue? What about that? And all of a sudden, I got the breakthrough again. And I let it go. And I let it go. And I said, God, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. And all of a sudden, I was back out of prison again. There was a guy I was dealing with a couple of years ago. I was discipling this guy. And lovely, lovely guy. Really gentle person. And he came in. Cocaine addict. Heroin addict. And broken man. Lovely kids, a lovely partner, you know what I mean? Really had everything, you know what I mean? Had everything, house and the whole lot. And he came in and we were dealing with him and we've done this stuff about forgiveness because you have to go through this. And he came to me one day, he says, Eddie, he says, I can't be a Christian. I says, what do you mean you can't be a Christian? He says, I can't forgive that a certain person. Like he told me about his mother. And by all accounts, she was a bad person. She was still alive. And she seriously abused him when he was a child. Seriously abused him. Seriously failed him. Let him down, And she and it was no longer a physical abuse. Now she was still alive, but now it was mental abuse that she was had on him, And he just said to me one day, he says, "I cannot let her go. I can't do this. I can't let her go." And I tried to recover the situation. I tried to talk him down off the ledge. And I says, well, I'll tell you what to do. I says, understand that you're forgiven first, and then we start approaching ourselves. But let the revelation sink into you. Understand that you've been set free from the cost that you had in your own sin. And he said, right, okay, we'll try that. And after a couple of months, he ended up, he gave his life to the Lord, and he ended up, and he walked away. He walked out of the situation, out of my ministry, and out of the ministry, and all that kind of stuff. And he used to come here, and every week he'd come in with his family and all, and I'd see him, and he'd say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. Everything's going great. I have a plan. We're going great. Everything's going fine. And then a couple of weeks later, then I'd see him coming in. And I knew straight away he's unshaven and he's down. He says, what happened? He says, I'm back on the cocaine. I'm back in CA. And I'm keep, you know. And then, okay, well, let's pray for you. And then a couple of weeks later, he'd come back and he'd be back on fire again. He'd be praising God. And then a month later, he'd come back and back again, using again, back on the cocaine and all that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Who's the prisoner? He's the prisoner because he just can't get a grip of freedom. Because he will not let that person go. You know, he will not let that person go. And he is the one that's being tortured. Now, he needs to let that person go. But he keeps on saying to me, or whatever, he kept on saying to me, that I can't set her free. She's wicked. She deserves punishment. She deserves all she's getting. And it's that vitriol bitterness that's in a Christian's heart. And God cannot deal with that. He can't. How can God bless that? How can you hold? And I said to him one day, and he got very angry with me. And I says, I understand your hurt, and I don't mean to demean it in any shape, make, or form, but in the value of God, that's 100 denarii you're holding against her. He went mad. Because he was trying to put her up at the 10,000. She owes me 10,000 talents. She owes me 10,000 talents. And until she pays it back, she's not getting out. She's in the debtor's prison as far as I'm concerned. But really, he's in the prison. He's in the prison, guys. Can we understand that this morning? I'm going to finish now in a few minutes. But I want this to be a ministry time. I want us to leave this building this morning absolutely setting everybody free. Too easy, Eddie. Hold on, Eddie. That's brushing over everything. I'm not. I really haven't. Jesus didn't brush over. He said it straight out. He said it. And I know there's hurt in this room. I know there's pain in this room. But I'm telling you guys, you cannot move on in the Lord. You can't. Unless you let people go. You just can't. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You have to go through it. And through every day, and it's week in and week out, you have to let people go. If you set someone free, they're free. You can't come back in 6 months later and pull it back in. Does God do that with us? No, he doesn't. He says you're free as far as the east is from the west. No more do we remember your sin. You're free, completely free. I'll never hold it against you ever, ever, ever. I'm not going to come to you in 10 years' time and say, what about that few Bobby Omi? I'm not going to. So when we set people free, we set them free. 70 times 7, we set them free. Yeah, but you don't know what was done to me. I know I don't. And I never will understand that. But I'm telling you, in the economy of God, that's the value is 100 denarii to God. You see, who's God think he is by putting that value on? I thought he's God and that's it. You know, you can't argue with him. I wish this wasn't in here. I wish it was written some other way. Make it a lot easier on me. But it's not. It certainly isn't. You know, I'm not preaching this stuff out of the top of my head. I've been through this and gone through this and I'm in it. If I'm honest, I'm in it. I'm in it every day. Okay. What does it mean to forgive from the heart? Jesus warns that if you do not forgive from the heart, you will suffer some kind of spiritual torment. We recommend that, you know, if I can put any technique around it, I'm only putting that word on it, but when these feelings come up, and when these thoughts and when these memories come up, what you need to do in your head is say, Lord, I let them go. You have to put language on it. You have to go through that process and say, I let them go. I forgive them. And Father, you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to pray for them. Father, bless them. Father, prosper them. Father, bless them. touch them, heal them, set them free, bring them into your kingdom, bring them into this church. Oh, man, I remember someone saying that to me, praying for people to bring them into church. Will you go away? Oh, God, that's too, a bridge too far. Bring them in, set them free, let them go, let them go, let them go. Make a choice in your heart. We forgive to stop pain. It's for our own sake that we forgive. We think by forgiving someone, we let them off the hook, but not forgiving them, we stay on the hook. Amen. What is forgiveness? Not forgetting. We can't get rid of hurt simply by trying to forget. We do, however, choose never again to bring up the offense and use it against that person. We don't tolerate sin either. It's perfectly possible to forgive still and take steps to put an end to ongoing abuse by removing yourself from the situation and calling in the authorities. You don't have to suffer anymore either. I'm not saying to you that if you're still in that process, or if it's still going on in your life, that you don't have to suffer them anymore. Jesus didn't say that. He says, forgive them, but also make steps to get away from them or to expose them. There's nothing wrong with that. This country was bed up in that for so many years. It's only coming out now where people won't afraid to expose people. But God is not saying that. If it's still going on in your life, take a step back from it and expose it. There's nothing wrong with that. But yet still forgiving them and still letting go. Amen? Okay. Resolving to live with the consequences of sins. Now, guys, we'll finish with this. There's also people in this room, and me included, that need people to forgive them. And we can put ourselves in a prison as well, waiting for someone to forgive you. Now, I've done bad things to people. And I still, those people that I've done bad things to haven't forgiven me. And I went through a process where I was still in the prison waiting for them to come and get me out and tell me, you know, I free you from the debt. But they haven't come, and they still haven't come. But I have understood that I am forgiven by God, and I will pray for them people, and I will hope that they can let me go. You know, but that's not to say that I have to stay in a prison. God has set me free from that prison. It's up to them to let me go. They're in the prison, if you like. Do you understand that? So if we have things, bad things that we've done on them, let understand that God has freed us from that sin. But we need to step back now and stop doing it. You need to step back and apologize if you can. If you're in a position to apologize and say, listen, sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. I really am. Can you forgive me? If you can't, it's okay. That's their prison. But at least you're making steps towards it. Listen, I'm sorry. If you don't have that approach or you can't go near these people, take a step back from the situation, you know, and say, listen, I'm going to pray for them and hope someday that I can be free. But I'm no longer persecuting them, or I'm no longer acting out in that way. You know, some of us are in battles with people, and every time you come in contact with them, the battle starts again. But that has to end. That's what unforgiveness is. Keep battling. That has to end. Okay, so we don't have to live in the consequences of sin. Okay, I'm going to finish with that tough subject. Absolutely nightmare to preach on, but it's something we cannot get away from. And if the worship team want to come back and maybe just strum and play something, we're going to open up the floor here because this is ministry time now. And I'm not going to do a thing where we will pray for people individually with the one prayer. But there's too many in here, and I think this affects a lot of people in here. So there is a lot of people in here that have done this and have let go, and are not persecuted by this anymore. But there's an awful lot of people that are still in it. And they come to me, and they come to Nolan, and they come to Rob, and they come to Peter, and they say, this Christianity just isn't working for me. This is too hard. This stuff is too hard. And, I don't understand this, and I can't read my Bible, and I can't get these breakthroughs. And how come I can't be like you? I can't be free. How come it only works for certain people? Well, the reason why it's not working for you is because you're stuck in the prison. Seriously. I went to a guy one day, and he said, Eddie, you need to let go. You can't go any further. You can't, what do you mean? Hold on for a second. You're putting law on me now. I'm not putting law on you. I'm putting reality on you. You cannot go any further unless you let go. Unless you let yourself out of that prison. It's not about laws and rules and regulations and Jesus putting stuff on us. It's a reality that human beings, it's not good for a human being to hold unforgiveness. It's not good for your psychology. It's not good for your health. It's not good for any aspect of your life to hold anything against anybody. And so, we're going to open up the floor. We're going to, not open up the floor, but let's stand. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Let's stand. Let's open up our hearts. Let's say, you know, let's, Father, just guide us, Lord. Father, guide us in what you want to happen here, Lord. Your presence is here, Father. You want to set us free, Lord. You have set us free. You want us to know that freedom. Freedom in Christ. Freedom, you know, you want us to let us off the hook. And I pray that every person in this room, if they hold any unforgiveness against someone, that they would let it go right now. And Father, you know the hurt in this room. And you will pick up the pieces. And you will pick us up. And you will cuddle us. And you will hold us. And you will say, it's okay now. Well done. He'd say, well done. Father, if there's any person in this room that holds a grudge against somebody. Father, if there's people in this room that have been abused and their abuser is still at large. Lord, would they let them go? Father, if there's people in this room that have hold unforgiveness against their parents, Father, would they let them go this morning? If there's people in this room that have been abused by workmates or being bullied in school or being all sorts of stuff said about them, Father, would they let it go? Father, would they let it go? Father, if there's people in this room that have a lot of people that hold a lot against them, would they let them go? And would they let themselves go? Father, Holy Spirit, would you come into this room right now and minister, because you don't want anyone walking out of this room as a prisoner. And I pray that there would be an honest search. An honest search, Lord, in this room. So guys, just, we're going to open the floor for individual prayer now in a second, but let's just say this after me. It's just an exercise, it really is. And don't get into a place where if you forgive someone, you're waiting for all these lights and bells and whistles to appear. It's not like that. But I was talking to a fellow the other day, and if you can do it like this, okay, he won't even go into the room to say, I forgive them. I can't even get him into the room just yet. But if you can even get into the room and say, listen, Eddie, I'm prepared to say I forgive them, then you're there. You're there. There's no other journey. God will do the rest. At least you're prepared to say, I forgive them. You're there already. And that's enough. And over the next months and weeks and months, keep saying it, and you will see your life transforming. You will see yourself out of that prison. You will see something happen in your life, because God can come in and bless that. He can come in and underpin that. He can say yes and amen to that. He can say, okay, finally, we're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on. So if you want to repeat this after me, Father God, anybody that has done any wrong on me, I forgive them.
Forgive them.
And I let them go.
Let them go.
Now, Father, I pray that you would release me now from that prison. And all the sin that I have done on other people, I let them go. And I thank you, Lord, that you set me free. Amen. If you want prayer, come on up. Praise God. Thanks, guys. Come on up. If you want prayer, there's tea and coffee downstairs. Bring that home with you. Hold on to that. Nourish that. And keep it going. Amen.